Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This is WTIC's Law Talk, a project of the Hartford County Bar Association. If you have a legal question, call now, 860-522-WTIC or 800-966-WTIC. And now, it's time for Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com.
Well, hello and welcome to Law Talk. This is the WTIC News Talk 1080 Interactive Legal Toolbox. I'm attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association, and my job on these afternoon get-togethers is to provide information, legal in nature, that's helpful, of interest, current, topical, and every once in a while just a little bit entertaining also. Your job is to listen, let me know what you think, and if you have a legal issue that we can help you with, a legal comment that you'd like to share with our audience, here's how you do it. Our phone number, 860-522-WTIC, that is 860-522-9842. And we're only here for 1 hour, so if you're thinking about giving us a call, delighted to hear from you, but better to call earlier than later because that will enable us to give you the time that you fully deserve. For some reason, we get a lot of calls towards the very tail end of the show, and they don't get the time that we'd like to give them otherwise. So what we're going to be doing in the meantime is going through some carefully selected recent court decisions here in Connecticut, all of which are selected, all of which are real cases, although we're not using full names. And they're all designed to illustrate a point that we think is either interesting or helpful. Without further ado, here's the rundown for today, okay? Monique asks, why didn't the judge believe me? Well, we're going to take a look at the judge's decision, and we'll take a peek behind the decision-making curtain so that you can see what factors the judge take into consideration when they're making a decision. Some of it may surprise you. We're going to follow that up with a visit to the C word. Yeah, the C word as in contempt of court. What you need to know about it, you're going to be hearing more about it in the near future, especially as the trial in Bridgeport grinds to a conclusion and the jury issues a verdict. But there's a lot more to it than you might imagine. So we'll go over some of that and we'll clear up some misconceptions about it. Second half of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about self-representation, used to be known as being pro se, the old Latin phrase meaning on your own behalf or for yourself. Now we're supposed to refer to people as self-represented individuals instead of pro se individuals, but that's okay. We're going to visit a case, recent decision, that talks about some of the perils of self-representation, and we'll tell you why it was that, on balance, these two folks would probably have been a lot better off if they had simply hired an attorney to negotiate a resolution for them. Finally, we're going to take a visit to housing court, one of the issues that comes up all of the time in housing court is when the parties, with the assistance of the court staff, the housing specialist, reach an agreement where a tenant is going to leave by a date certain and is going to pay rent or use and occupancy up until that date, then what happens when they move to extend it further? So there's been some appellate discussions of that, and we'll find out whether the word final really means final or not as far as the appellate court is concerned. So once again, our phone numbers here at Law Talk, 860-522-WTIC. That's 860-522-9842. If you're one of the folks listening online, feel free to give us a call. We're happy to hear from you in any event, okay? So let me tell you first of all about the case involving Monique. And this is the story. This was a trial of a case. It's to a judge. It's referred to as a bench trial or a courtside trial. And here's what happened. Monique was sitting in her car in the parking lot, and she was at the home goods store, okay? Her car is stationary. She's on the telephone. She's not doing anything wrong. Okay, Gary's car is in that parking lot. It's operating and operating just a little bit recklessly. It strikes the car next to Monique's car. It drives that car into the passenger side panel of Monique's car. So Monique ends up going to the emergency room. She ends up having to see an orthopedic specialist. She gets physical therapy. And at the trial, she testifies that she's still suffering from symptoms. The orthopedic surgeon says if she needs surgery, the cost of the surgery, the hospitalization, and the follow-up physical therapy will be as much as $78,000, okay? But there's no lost wage claim. So this case goes to trial. Monique testifies she's still suffering from symptoms related to the accident, and she's suing for her economic losses, and she is suing for her non-economic losses, for pain and suffering, past, present, and future, for her inability to carry on activities the way that she used to. Okay? So let me tell you a little bit about what the judge's role is in a matter of this nature, because it may be a little bit different than what you're expecting. Okay? Now, the judge's role, when the judge is the trier of fact, the judge has to evaluate the credibility of the testimony and the documentary evidence. The important point here is that it's entirely up to the judge, just as it is when it's a jury trial, to decide what to accept and what to believe. Whether it's the judge or the jury, they can believe all, none, or some of a witness's testimony. They can accept it in part, reject it, okay? So what does the court consider? Well, the judge goes on and he tells us what it was that was considered in this case. And this is pretty much common. So if you're wondering how judges size up witnesses, this is what they do, okay? The judge writes here that this court considered the appearance, the demeanor of Monique while she was on the witness stand, the consistency or inconsistency of her testimony, her manner in responding to questions, especially whether she was candid and forthright or evasive and incomplete, and the lack of interest in the case and the consistency or inconsistency of her testimony in relation to other evidence, including exhibits. Okay? So there were a few exhibits. Much of the testimony was from Monique. She relayed to the court much of her own analysis of what physical therapy was needed to help her. She said that she chose to get massages to help her, even though none were ever prescribed by any of her providers. The court points out, rather pointedly, Monique is not a medical professional. She cannot testify as to the type of treatment that would be needed, although she can make choices, like any other person, to undergo prescribed treatments, to seek additional medical procedures, or not. That's entirely up to her, okay? Well, we're going to have to take a break for a moment. And when we get back, we will tell you more about what happened in Monique's case and why it is that the judge made the decisions that were made, because it's spelled out here pretty well. So that's a great takeaway. In the meantime, when we get back, we're also going to talk to Ann in Glastonbury, and we've got a line or two open for you also at 860-522-WTIC. That is 860-522-9842. This is Law Talk. It's attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association, and we're back with all of that right after this.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC, News Talk 1080.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go and leave you all alone? I got a bad desire.
All right. Well, that is Bruce Springsteen, and he's bumping us back into our next segment on Law Talk right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm attorney John Matulis. You are one of our very cherished listeners. We're delighted to have you listening. Encourage you to give us a call and share your legal issue, your legal question, your legal comment with us at 860-522-WTIC. We had a call from Sue that is not on air, but she left a message, and we'll get to that shortly. In the meantime, though, let's go to Ann in Glastonbury, who's been on hold. Hi, Ann, and welcome to Law Talk. Hi, Ann, do we have you with us? Okay, well, it sounds like maybe Ann isn't there after all. We'll put her back on hold, and if it turns out that she returns, we'll see that. Okay, what we'll do then is we'll pick up the message from Sue, Sue called in, and she didn't want to go on the air. That makes it a little bit different because we can't really dialogue back and forth. But what I'm understanding is that she told Kevin, our producer, she had a question about impact statements and whether they really very much matter. Okay, so here's the story. An impact statement is a statement from a victim of a crime that is given to the sentencing judge when the person who committed the crime has been apprehended and has either pled guilty or has been found guilty, okay? And as I'm understanding Sue's question, she's asking, does this impact statement that the victim is permitted to make to the judge really make any difference? Well, I think that the answer probably is it'll vary somewhat from case to case, but it is not just to make the victim feel important or to make the victim feel that the system really cares about them. Of course they are important, and of course the system cares about them. I think it's one of a number of different factors that a sentencing judge is going to consider, okay? One of those factors is going to be exactly what the impact, the effect, if you will, was upon the victim. A lot of times that doesn't come through from the police report and from the claims of the defense lawyer or from what the prosecutor is able to provide. So, Sue, the answer is I think that it's one of several factors that's considered, but it is an important factor, and folks should not be cynical or skeptical about it. If you are a victim of a crime and if you have an opportunity to make a impact statement at the sentencing of the person that did it, I think by all means you should do that. Okay, so that's the story to that. And if you've got a question, we are at 860-522-WTIC. That's 860-522-9842. And my screen says that Ann may be back, so let's give that a try. No, I think that maybe that's a little bit premature. I think that that's still being worked on. Let's go back to tell you more about Monique and what happened with the case that we're describing before the break here, because this is a good one for us to understand, okay? Monique's in a car accident. She's testifying at the court. This is not a trial to a judge. It's a trial to a judge. It's not a trial to a jury. And she's testifying about all of her different injuries. Well, the judge ended up giving her a judgment, which was appropriate because there's no way she was at fault. Her car was stationary and not parked improperly or anything else when it was struck. But here's why the judge gave her less than she was asking for, okay? For example, the judge points out Monique testified about the accident herself. She claims she could not get out of the car. The judge's remark, there was no evidence or documents before this court that ever suggested she was trapped. If the police had been required to extract her from the car in any way, it would be noted, the drawings in the police report would note the final resting position in the report. Okay, so that's one of the things the judge points out. Another thing here, her claims of continued pain and inabilities. The judge says they're inconsistent, they're nebulous, there is no link to a particular impact on her life, okay? And she said in her deposition, she was pinned in between the two cars, but then she stated she opened the door and got out. Completely inconsistent testimony. Additionally, she testified about ongoing pain, but the judge says not a scintilla of medical evidence since the last visit to the surgeon of any problem. Judge points out she did not seek any medical assistance for her claims of anxiety and distress, while she claims injuries and continuing problems with her neck, back, and arm. There has been no treatment for any of these. Okay? She testified the symptoms are the same as they were back when she saw the orthopedic surgeon, but there has been no follow-up. Okay? The judge says there is no evidence that supports the serious impact from the injury that she is claiming. Now, the judge goes a little bit farther and says that she's a poor historian. She doesn't have her dates down well. She doesn't have a good recollection of all of this. And the judge then writes, this is not to say that Monique has not experienced some pain and emotional impact, but the court cannot, based upon her failure to treat, for instance, for not following through with physical therapy recommended by the doctor, find that the claims rise to the level of ongoing pain and claim for continued compensation. Okay? So the judge basically then turns to the business about surgery. And this was a big part of her claim. She has a report from the doctor that she might need back surgery. And the doctor was asked to and did opine that if she did, she would need surgery, she would need rehabilitative, recuperative care, she would need follow-up physical therapy. The doctor estimated the cost of all of that at $78,000, okay? The judge says Monique has not satisfied her burden of proving that the surgery might be possible because of this accident. She testified that she is not considering surgery as a necessary procedure because of this because of the accident of June of 2020. And then she goes on, and the judge footnotes, Monique talks about her fear of the surgery. Her mother has not had success with back surgery. And then the judge says, however, Monique actually went out of the country to have surgery in Colombia after this accident, albeit for a different medical issue, but still major surgery. And so the judge was very skeptical of her fear of undergoing the surgery. The end result was that the judge awarded her financial compensation as follows, okay? For all of her economic damages, and remember, she was looking for a lot of money, including the $78,000, awards her $7,325 economic damages, non-economic damages, compensation for everything she went through, pain and suffering, past, present, and future, inability to carry out activities at all or to carry them out as well, $10,000. Total award, $17,325. So here are the takeaways on this one, okay? And this is good for all of us to know as witnesses. Number one, do not exaggerate, okay? Back when I was doing insurance defense work, we loved it when injured parties exaggerated their injuries because it was so easy to discredit them. Number two, do not make claims if there is no corroborating testimony or evidence. Remember one of the first things that the judge told us in this decision. The court is not required to believe in what you say, even if there's no contradictory evidence offered by the other side. And we went through the litany of characteristics that the judge is going to use in evaluating the testimony, not only of the party seeking compensation, but also of everyone else testifying. And the last point we're going to offer here is prepare thoroughly. Monique testified at trial in a matter which was inconsistent with the sworn testimony she had given at a deposition in the same case. This is a defense lawyer's dream, okay? And the question always used to be, well, which time when you were under oath were you untruthful? In front of the judge or back when you were under oath in our office? So it destroys the credibility, and get this, it weakens the credibility on the whole entire rest of the testimony. That is partially what happened here. Now, that music tells me that we're going to have to take a break shortly for news, weather, etc., and then we're going to be back with the rest of Law Talk after that. It looks like Anna Glastonbury is back on, and we will get to her. We're more than welcome to hear from you also at 860-522-WTIC. That's 860-522-9842. We're only here until 1. Better to call us earlier rather than later so we can give you the time that you deserve. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association, and we're back after this.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC. News Talk 1080.
Indeed, and if you're not careful, that's what will happen to you also. That's our theme song bumping us into the next half hour of Law Talk right here, WTIC, News Talk 1080, WTIC.com, streaming audio on the net. These programs all go up on the radio station's website as podcasts, usually a couple of days into the business week following this program. So if there's something that you missed, something that you wanted to hear more about, something that somebody mentioned to you, check it out by going to WTIC.com and looking for podcasts. In the meantime, let's go to Ann in Glastonbury, who has been very patient. And Ann, we're happy to have you with us. Tell us how we can help you.
My questions have to do with fairness of employee wage discrepancies, benefits, and wages. In a situation where a very experienced employee, and I'm talking about 20 years of experience for this particular property, property that's, we're probably talking about 15 to 20 acres. This employee has experience in a multiple fields of managing this property. Let's just say water and electric, for example. And it's very complicated. Now, this person receives $35 an hour, no benefits at all. An unexperienced employee, and now I say unexperienced related to managing this property, receives $30 an hour and benefits. Health care, I don't know what other benefits. It seems very, very unfair. And I'm wondering what you might have to say about that.
Okay, well, thank you for a very good question. And let's see if we can explore that a little bit further. It sounds like the nature of the duties involved is property management. Is that pretty much the case?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Now, the employer, I assume this is a traditional type of employment where these employees receive W-2s and that Social Security and withholding and income tax and everything else is taken out of their periodic paychecks?
Yes.
Okay, so we're not talking about either independent contractors or anything of that nature. First of all, there's no legal requirement that the employer provide what people refer to as fringe benefits, whether it's health insurance, whether it's paid time off, things of that nature. Well, paid time off may be a little bit different, but either health insurance or contributions to retirement plans or things of that nature. So I think the real question here is whether there's some kind of discrimination that's going on where the person that was hired second is being given benefits, whereas the person that was more senior in tenure was not. That's pretty much the issue, Ann?
Yes.
Okay.
And I believe this newer employee does receive paid time off as well, whereas the very experienced employee receives nothing.
Okay. And this is not a governmental entity that is the employer. It's a private business or private individual.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think, first of all, that unless there's some discrimination on the basis of one of the protected categories, which here in Connecticut includes race, creed, color, national origin, gender identification, and things of that nature, it's probably up to the employer how he, she, or it wants to treat its employees. That said, it's just not fair to the more experienced employee who should probably go to the employer and say, you know, I'm not a potted plant here, and why is it that this other person is receiving benefits that I am not? Now, I'll just give you an example. There are a lot of small businesses where health insurance is available to employees, but sometimes a particular prospective employee says, oh, I already have it available through my spouse or my partner or something of that nature. And so the employer says, well, or to itself, it says, well, that's one less individual that I'll be paying a portion of the health insurance cost for. So that by itself is a disparate treatment that is permissible and it's not discriminatory. But I think the short answer is, Ann, that unless the discrimination involves one of those protected categories, it's probably okay, as distasteful as it is. Now, I'm going to make a suggestion. In just a moment, I'm going to have to talk about this lawyer referral service. You can get a half-hour consult with a labor lawyer who can explain this in great detail and probably cover it in a much more accurate fashion than I can do in the space of the time that we have available here. So I'm going to ask you to, when we finish speaking, to listen up when I talk about this service, and you'll find it's a great deal where you can get a consult with a labor lawyer who can really go into this in great detail, because there may be some aspects to it that may be a little bit different when the matter's explored a little bit more detail. Okay, Ann, would you be willing to do that?
Yeah. Thank you very
okay,
much.
Okay, and thanks very much for calling. Take care now. All right. Ann and the rest of you, I think, would really benefit from knowing about the Hartford County Bar Association's not-for-profit lawyer referral service. And this is the way it works. Okay. If you do not have an attorney and you've got a legal issue, such as the person on whose behalf Ann was calling, or any other legal issue, you phone them at the phone number that I'm going to give you in just a moment. So get your pencils ready. They'll ask you a couple of questions to determine the nature of your legal inquiry. salary. Ann's question involved labor law or contract law. Other people would have questions of a lot of different categories, but you get referred to an attorney that practices actively in the area that you need help with, okay? Ann's case, she's not going to benefit from an estate planning attorney or a criminal law defense lawyer or something like that. She needs somebody that knows either labor law or contracts. And the attorney you get referred to has been vetted carefully. First of all, they all have to demonstrate that they are fully insured. Secondly, they have to show they're experienced in the area in which they will accept referrals or questions, rather. And third, they have to demonstrate, and it's confirmed, that they are free of disciplinary problems. Okay? So here's how you contact them. You phone them at 860-525-6052. That's 860-525-6052. And I've told you what you get. Now, at the end of the half hour, there is absolutely no hard sell. There's no further obligation whatsoever. But if further legal services are requested, the two of you are free to go forward together or not if you wish. Okay? Now, what's it all cost? Glad you asked. There's a one-time only fee of $35, and that's to help defray the cost of the rental and the personnel and the phones and everything else. Okay? So that's the story. If you've got a personal injury claim, they're going to waive the $35. If you don't have one of those, but you've got a Social Security disability claim, same thing, no fee charged for you either. And the last one is if you have a workers' compensation claim. So it's a great deal, and as we like to say in Law Talk, it's a lot better than hiring a lawyer based on some billboard that you saw out of the corner of your eye as you were going westbound out of I-84, out of Hartford on I-84. So that number is the Hartford County Bar Association's not-for-profit lawyer referral service at 860-525-6052. That's 860-525-6052, and tell them that you heard about it on Law Talk. Okay, so we've got a couple of calls that we're going to go to them right now and see what we can do. Okay, Benita from Willimantic, hi, you're on Law Talk, and tell us how we can help you.
Actually, I'm calling to thank you for helping me.
Okay, tell me more.
I followed your suggestion about a specific problem I had, and I called the Connecticut Bar Association. They referred me first to one gentleman, one attorney who was who felt as if this was not something that he could handle, and he referred me to yet another person. And I don't know if we're going to go forward or not, but at least I feel much more confident about my situation than I did at the time. So I thank you for pointing me in the right direction, and I also thank you for being on the radio so the person knows that the Connecticut Bar Association does this.
Okay, well, Benita, thank you so much for the kind words. We often tell our listeners to let us know how things turn out in the future. You've done that, and we thank you very much for doing that. Just want to mention, though, it's the Hartford County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service. The Connecticut Bar is different, and they don't operate a lawyer referral service like this, but they operate something that's a little different. So thank you very much for calling back. Appreciate it very much, and I hope that the problem works out well eventually. Okay? Take care
thank
now.
You very-
Okay, our phone number is 860-522-WTIC, 860-522-9842. Steve in Rockville, we're going to get to you after the break, but we're required to take one more break, and we've got a line or two open after that. Let's put them to use. I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association, and this is Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080, WTIC.com, streaming audio on the net.
And now, back to Law Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Working on a night move, trying to make some front page driving news. Working on a night move.
All right. Well, the rock doesn't get much more classical than Bob Seger, does it? Welcome back to Law Talk, and I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. Let's go to Steve in Rockville. Hi, Steve. Thanks for holding on, and you're on Law Talk. Tell us how we can help you.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Go right ahead. I understand that you've got an issue that involves a local lawyer versus something else. Tell us more.
Yes. Yeah, we had a son, 39, who passed away last month.
I'm sorry.
And then his wife passed away 4 weeks later.
Oh, Lord.
And they lived 1,600 miles away. And so now there was no will, and everything will wind up, of course, in probate. And our question to you is, would it behoove us to get an attorney here in Connecticut or to get an attorney where they were living? Which do you think would be the most...
Okay, without knowing more of the details, I would say that you probably not only should, but probably have to get an attorney that is local to the area where they were living. And the reason that I say that, Steve, is because, as you've correctly surmised, it's probably going to have to go to probate or whatever the local equivalent is of that in the state where they were living. And it's going to have its own rules and practices and so on. And while a Connecticut attorney can sort of keep an eye on things, if there's going to be some active representation that goes on in that court, I refer to it as a foreign court. It's not a foreign country. It's just it's outside the boundaries of this state.
Right.
You need an attorney that is not only licensed to practice there, but practices actively in that general type of work. What state is involved, Steve?
Illinois.
Okay. I think that there's no shortage of attorneys there. Do you know what the probate court is that would be handling it? It's usually based on where the person resides at the time of their death.
I think it was Hayward County.
Okay. Now, there's a couple of ways that you can do this, and if you'd like, I'll give you a couple of thoughts about hiring a local attorney, because it may be helpful not only for you but for others that are listening, okay?
Sure.
When I was a younger lawyer in the partnership I worked in, part of my job was managing some of the remote litigation, so I had to hire and occasionally fire local lawyers, and one of the first things that we looked for was whether or not they're geographically somewhat convenient to where they're going to have to go. So once you find out where the specific court is located, you want an attorney that's somewhat geographically convenient for that. The reason for that? Because you don't want to pay a lot of hourly rates for somebody doing a lot of traveling. And if somebody's got to drive 2.5 or 3 hours in a large state like Illinois to get to the court, it's unlikely they're going to do that without being compensated for it. So the second thing is you want to make sure that they practice in the specific discipline that you need. You need somebody who is a probate practitioner and somebody who's experienced in it. And so those are the first two criteria that you're going to look for: geographical convenience, second, experience in that area. Third, do not hesitate to ask them about what their experience may be in that exact same type of setting, or if they're willing to give you any kind of references. Most lawyers will say, I can't really give you a reference without the client's consent because it violates attorney-client privilege. So if they say that, you can respect that. But those are several factors that I think you should probably consider in terms of retaining counsel. Okay?
Yeah, great. Thank you very much.
And please let us know in the future how that turns out, okay?
I will do that. I will do that.
Okay, very good, Steve. And again, I'm sorry for the loss. Two in a short period of time like that is doubly difficult. And you have my condolences.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Take care. Mm-hmm. Bye now. All right. Well, it's bad enough to lose a child, but then to lose a child and a family and in-law all at the same time. So we wish Steve well. The points that we are making to Steve are just as applicable for anyone else who is in a situation about considering having to hire an attorney in a location that is not close by. On a smaller scale, because Connecticut is a much smaller state than Illinois, the same principles can apply. If you have business in Bridgeport or Stamford, it doesn't really make sense to hire somebody from Hartford or Manchester or farther away unless there's a very, very good reason to do so. Because even so, if they're going to end up running into 45 minutes to an hour of commuting one way every single time they've got to go to court, then that's all going to end up in some additional cost. And there are other exceptions, of course. If the person that you're thinking of hiring has a longstanding knowledge that is going to be helpful in the case that a lawyer new to the case might not have, then that would be different. But those are some things to keep in mind that are applicable in a number of different occasions, okay? What we're going to do now, we've got a few minutes left, and we're going to touch on the C word, C as in contempt, as in contempt of court. And we'll touch on a little bit about what you need to know about it, because there are lots and lots of misunderstandings. And we're going to hear more about that starting at some point after the much-awaited verdict is returned in the Superior Court in the prosecution that's going on there concerning Jennifer Farber Dulos, okay? There's going to be a contempt hearing because the defendant allegedly violated a court order by putting some prohibited documents up on a screen in the courtroom that the jury was allegedly able to see. So, first of all, contempt, simply put, it's violation of a court order. The purpose of it is to vindicate the authority of the court. It's not necessarily to punish somebody, it's to vindicate the authority of the court. Now, punishments range from monetary fines. Actually, you could say from, you know, even a scolding or something of that nature, to monetary fines, to sanctions in the case. And we'll give you an example of that later. And the ultimate sanction is incarceration. Okay. Fines often involve attorney's fees that the other side incurs in pursuing the matter and trying to get the court's order followed the way it should have been. Now, sanctions in a case are pretty surprising, but they're very common. The Alex Jones case that was heard in Waterbury, he had repeatedly violated court orders about depositions and a number of other things. The court entered a default against him and turned that entire matter into what's called a hearing in damages. So there were no longer issues about whether he had done things improperly or whether or not there he was liable. The only question was whether he was, to what extent he was liable. And as you all know, that ended up with a massive, massive jury verdict. Okay. And that was a result of repeated violations and sanctions imposed upon him for contempt. Now, the ultimate sanction is incarceration. This comes up a little more commonly where somebody just hasn't done what the court's ordered them to, and it doesn't look like they're going to do it. But the court has to find that they have the ability to do so. If you can't do that, then that's a little bit different. Now, we've got a lot more to do on this one, but that music in the background is my cue to try and wrap things up fairly promptly, and that's exactly what we're going to do. So we'll continue with contempt next week. In the meantime, let me thank you all for joining me on this Saturday afternoon, joining Kevin and I here. He is the voice that you hear when you call up and help us to allow us to help you on the air. Thanks, everybody who listened, but thanks especially to those of you who called. And thanks very much to my colleague, Kevin Corza. He's got his hands full, especially when everything isn't going exactly as it's supposed to. Me, I'm Attorney John Matulis from the Hartford County Bar Association. It is my pleasure to host these get-togethers, and we look forward to talking to you again next Saturday.
Law Talk is presented as a public service by the Hartford County Bar Association. Its content is intended to be educational and informative, but is not considered to be formal legal opinion. If you want or need a formal legal opinion upon which to rely in decision-making, please consider formally engaging an attorney to review all relevant facts in detail and examine the pertinent law as it applies to those facts. A solid opinion means better decisions. The views expressed during this program are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of the Hartford County Bar Association, its officers, or its directors.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.